Good morning, church. A warm welcome to each and every one of you this morning. If you are visiting, an extra special welcome goes out to you. We are so glad that you're with us. This Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday. We will learn that Jesus becomes dazzling white, the brightest light possible, and this is the last Sunday of Epiphany. We're glad you're here. We've got some announcements to share with you this morning. First of all, I want to make sure that you see your yellow insert. You might want to take this home and put it on your refrigerator door. It lists all our Lenten activities beginning this coming Wednesday, February 14th, which is Ash Wednesday. Now, for a lot of folks, February 14th is, you know, hearts and Valentine's. But Pastor Addie and I are going to smear mud on your forehead and remind you of your mortality.
Happy times.
I'd like to call your attention to next Sunday, February 18th, a very special Sunday here at St. John's. Representatives from the Society of St. Vincent de Paul will be here to be among us during worship. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul is one of our strongest ministry partners in the area. And you won't want to miss what this incredible ministry does and how we support it. The team from the Society will be with us next Sunday during worship, and it will be followed by a conversation and Q&A in the library. You won't want to miss that. Also, a reminder that spring goodie box time has arrived. We want donations for young people living away from home, and these will be assembled in the church library through March 3rd. Also, just so that you can stock up for your Super Bowl treats, our local Girl Scouts will be selling those cookies following worship down in Assembly Hall. And I've also heard that there's an awful lot of food that's going to be down there following worship. So I think we're going to call this the pre-Super Bowl party. So we hope that you'll join us following worship for that. We're glad you're here. We're glad that you were able to detach from your activities at home to make your way here, to find yourself in the midst of a pilgrimage people who are seeking to go more deeply with their God. And so it is our time to worship. Let us worship.
Thank you.
I invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. We are brought here today to glimpse the hope that Christ has for us.
We pray that God frees us from our fears so that we can see and feel that hope.
It can be easier to stand here in the familiar darkness of the valley of our comfort.
But Christ calls us to the light of the mountaintop to receive a new vision.
With Christ as our guide, we step into the brightness of renewal and grace.
Let us open our hearts to Christ, ready for all the ways he will transform. Amen.
Let us join together to confess our sins. God of change and glory, we confess to you and to one another that many ways we have failed to live the lives you want for us. We insist on staying in the valley of our fear and hurt when you long to lead us to the mountaintop of renewal and redemption. We make ourselves busy in things and neglect to listen to your voice. We choose to see the worst in the world around us and look past your signs of hope. We are quick to voice our dissent with one another and refuse to see your face in the persons with whom we disagree. We withdraw and withhold, focusing on our anger and disappointments and closing our hearts to your transforming grace. O light of the world, forgive us. Open our eyes to your endless possibilities. Give us courage to listen for your call to us. Take our hearts of stone and make them new again with your love. Amen.
God's light has come into the world to shine into all the places of darkness, hurt, disappointment, and despair in our own lives and in the life of our world. When we dare to confess our sins and allow God to enter in, we receive the gift and the power of God's transforming grace and forgiveness as we are made new.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright. Dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus.
All right. I'd like to invite the young people to come forward. Come on up. All right, I need to grab something very quickly, okay? Could you move down a little bit more this way? All right, I've got my... Do you know what this is? It's a light, yeah? Yeah, this is my super duper painting light. Have you ever painted a room inside your house? Have you ever watched your parents or someone paint in your house? Yeah. So I got to tell you about me. I need extra light to see what I'm doing. And I'll show you how bright this light really is. What do you think? Boo! Would you like to be under the spotlight? No. It's kind of blinding, isn't it? How about you, Katie? Seem like the light type. Oh, look at that. How about Danny? Now Danny's in the spotlight. Stand up, Danny. Let everybody see how bright you are. Izzy is turning the other way. Most of us don't want to be in the spotlight. But Jesus ended up in the spotlight. And do you know why he ended up in the spotlight? Because God wanted us to see how special Jesus was. And honestly, I need this light in order to see what I'm painting in our house. Sorry, I'm blinding you, aren't I? That's how bright it was. Jesus is a light, and God wanted us to see how special Jesus was. So there was a special light on Jesus that day. Isn't that cool? The other thing that I want you to know is not only did God shine a light on Jesus, God gave a little bit of instruction to his disciples and a little bit of instruction to us. Three words. Listen to him. Can you say that? A little louder. Danny? Listen to him, right? Yeah. How about the congregation all together now? Listen to him. Very easy words, but hard to do. It's hard to listen to Jesus sometimes because we want to listen to what we want to do and we forget that Jesus has something to say to us. So I want you to be reminded that Jesus is our light, he is our guide, and we have been taught to listen to him. Because what he wants to teach us is really important. Could I ask you to stand up so we could do a prayer together? Okay? Okay, could you repeat after me? Dear God.
Jesus is the light.
And we should listen to him.
Because he has lots of things to teach us.
And he has lots of love to give us. Amen. And then I'm going to ask you this question. You know the answer. Jesus taught us a special prayer, right? And it begins with what word?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much. I'm sorry if I blinded you a little bit with that light. You'll recover. All right. Take care. See you next week.
I invite you to be with me in prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for another day, another opportunity to gather in the beauty of this place, another chance to hear your word. God, may that word fall upon ears and hearts and minds that are open to receive it. Amen. As my classmates and I were preparing for our international cross-cultural trip to Egypt in the second year of my seminary studies, One of our professors told us a story of a student who, in his own preparation for his cross-cultural trip, raised his hand and asked, "Am I going to have a mountaintop experience?" To which the professor laughed and said something along the lines of, "I don't think that's something we can put on the agenda, but I guess we'll see." Now, I don't think that question was running through the minds of Peter, James, and John when we meet them in our scripture passage from Mark this morning, as they are chosen to climb up the mountain with Jesus. I don't believe they had any idea what was in store for them when they started up the mountain. In fact, they were more than likely thinking what I often think on a hike, which is, why did I agree to this? I do assume, however, that they felt very honored to be making this special trip with Christ. And as it turns out, the trudge and the exhaustion were worth it, because once they arrive at the top, everything changes. Literally, Jesus changes, transfigures right before their eyes. He becomes enveloped in this light. His clothes become bright, shimmering, almost blindingly white. And I was thinking about it, after a long hike up a dusty mountain in biblical times, I imagine not much was white back in that day, so something so shining bright must have been pretty rare and pretty attention-grabbing. I imagine it's mind-blowing to these three disciples, better than any fireworks show you've ever seen, otherworldly, equally terrifying and incredible. It's a close encounter with God, holiest of holies. And it's the seeing of Jesus for who he really is, in all his glory. And with Moses and Elijah, no less, these superheroes of faith, teachers and prophets, symbolizing Jesus not aligning himself with the center of religious authority, with the temple and its laws, but rather with the prophets of old, those appointed directly by God to represent God to the people. It was a big statement. And can you imagine how awesome it must have been, a true mountaintop moment? But as dazzling as that all sounds, it's not my favorite part of this scripture passage. No, my favorite part is Peter, who, after experiencing this magnificent moment with God, does the most typical human thing ever. Well, he wants to capture it. "It's good for us to be here," he says. "After all, everything is so good up here, so clear, so bright, so unmistakably spiritual. Why not stay forever? I know, let's build a shrine. 3 dwelling places, one for you, Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. That way, we can stay here forever and ever, and whenever we need you or whenever we want to feel your presence, we know exactly where to find you." He wants to harness and hoard the holy, to make the fleeting permanent, to make tangible that which is ungraspable. I imagine in modern times, if he had an iPhone, you better believe Peter would have wanted a selfie. To remember, to prove to others and to himself that he had been there, to relish in all he had seen and felt, and to stay on the mountaintop. Can you blame him? Imagine a time in your life when you felt even just a little of what Peter and James and John are experiencing today. A time when everything was so good and so right. A time when you felt especially close to God, where there was a deep sense of clarity, a peace, a contentment, a knowing within you. Maybe you're thinking of a particular location or spot, a trip or a vacation, a moment in time, a deeply spiritual encounter, even a season in your life, or even maybe a season in the life of our church where all felt perfect. Or at least under control. Whenever and wherever it was, I'll bet it was glorious. And I'll bet you wish you could have stayed there forever, or at least bottled it up and taken even a piece of it home with you. And I'm sure there was a sense of grief when you did have to leave and when things started to become a little bit less perfect and dazzling. And maybe you even feel a bit of that grief now as you look back. Like Peter, many of us want desperately to hold on to those mountaintop moments in our lives. And yet, the story continues. You see, before Peter gets too far into his plans to stay and build and maintain and preserve and hold on, God interrupts. Just as God spoke in Jesus' baptism, just as God spoke over the waters of creation, God speaks again. "This is my son, my chosen, my beloved. Listen to him." Even before Peter is finished speaking, God covers him in a thick cloud and tells him to listen to Jesus. Not to his own plans, not to his own misconceptions about life and life of faith on the mountaintop. It's Jesus' way, the way of the valley, the way of the cross, the way of humility and surrender and sacrifice that Peter must learn to follow. How often have we found ourselves, our expectations, our strategic planning, our plotting of how to stay and keep and hold on and maintain, how often have we found ourselves interrupted by God's reminder that we are not, in fact, in control of everything? That we cannot capture God. We cannot contain Christ. We cannot micromanage the Holy Spirit. All we can do is listen. Listen and let go and follow. Writer Debbie Thomas says it this way: whenever we think we have God figured out, it's good to be reminded that we don't. Whenever we try to stuff Jesus into a theological, cultural, or political box for our own convenience, it's good to have that box blown open. Whenever we grow complacent, self-righteous, or lazy in our lives of faith, it's good to be brought to our knees by a God whose thoughts are not our thoughts and whose ways are not our ways. The truth is, there's nothing wrong with mountaintop moments. They are beautiful. They're scriptural. They're awe-inspiring and transformational. And yet, we cannot build a home there. Jesus knows that. This Messiah born in a manger, baptized in the Jordan, who turned water into wine at Cana, who filled the fishing nets on the lake, who preached on the plain, this Jesus, transfigured prophet of the Most High God, even he doesn't stay on the mountain. In fact, as much as I love this story and the visual of the dazzling Jesus atop the clouds, the Jesus I know and I love and I encounter daily, well, I count on him being in the valley. And so, down the mountain they come. Now, we didn't read it this morning, but immediately after this passage, what's waiting in the valley below that day, among many, many others, is a frightened, exhausted father with a son who is in desperate need of healing. Waiting in the valley below is a world of illness and pain and suffering. Waiting in the valley below is betrayal, desertion, crucifixion, and death. A valley that Jesus left the mountain to walk into. A valley that Jesus led his disciples into. A valley that was heartbreaking and disenchanting and decidedly not a magical mountaintop. But a valley that revealed the true nature and purpose of Christ all the same. We've each got valleys. The stuff in life we'd love to be airlifted out of so we don't have to deal with it. The stuff we'd like to sidestep or ignore or pass along to someone else or give up or build a house on a mountaintop to avoid. Would you believe that Christ is revealed there too? In the midst of a chaotic world and our chaotic lives torn by brokenness, war, violence, anxiety, hatred, fear, and pain, maybe shiny Jesus on a mountain doesn't offer you much comfort or hope today because we do not know how to reach for that kind of glory from here in the messiness and uncertainty of real life. But the Son of Man coming down the mountain, reaching without flinching into the pain of the valley, that's a different story. The Holy of Holies healing and cleansing and touching and casting out, that is the Jesus I need, and maybe you do too. See, I don't think the story of Transfiguration is meant to only be about the unreachable holiness of God. I think it's meant to be about the holiness of God reaching down to us. As Nadia Boltz-Weber writes, Jesus has made low even the mount of his own transfiguration to be with us. You need not reach for glory because holiness has come down to dwell with us in the valley of our shadows. You need no longer climb up to strive for or achieve holiness, for it is too busy already reaching into the troubled dirt of your humanity. Holiness has come to dwell with us in the valley of our shadows. Jesus, the Messiah, is coming down the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and the rest of us, so that we can know that it is neither our burden nor our business to stay on the mountaintop. So that we can know that even if it doesn't meet our expectation or if it draws us out of our comfortable dwelling places, the story doesn't end on the mountaintop. Thank God. The heart of this story of transfiguration is change. Not my favorite thing, probably not your favorite thing either, but something we are not strangers to as individuals and as a church community and people of faith. And yet, just as that mountaintop transfiguration revealed Christ in the disciples' midst, changes around us and among us and within us reveal Christ in ours. We have talked for the past several months, years really, about St. John's being in a time of transition, which is true. But what if we started saying that we are in a time of transfiguration? A time when holy changes are revealing even more of Christ's goodness and mercy and purpose and glory. A time when God, through Jesus, comes down to meet us to reveal even more of himself. That changes everything. God comes down to carry our burdens, to walk with us in suffering, to show us the way through uncharted waters. God comes down to meet us every time we gather as a community, no matter how many of us are there. God comes down in the midst of transition and unknown. God comes down to us in a world that we might hardly recognize, a world we might disapprove of, a world we might wish would change. God comes to meet us in this place and in many more places of worship, whether they are full or nearly empty, whether the budget is met or not, whether we feel successful or not. God comes to meet us because we are God's people, weighed down with burdens only God can carry. And so God does indeed come to carry them and to carry us.
The story doesn't end on the mountaintop. Thank God. On this Transfiguration Sunday, as we come to the end of the liturgical season of Epiphany, we prepare to enter into the darkness of Lent, a journey towards the cross. Not what the disciples were expecting, imagining, or hoping for, and yet, the valley in which Christ's ultimate glory was revealed. May we dare to listen, to let go, to follow. Just like the disciples, no, we don't know if we'll have a mountaintop experience. We can't know ahead of time what mountains or valleys lie before us. We can't predict how God will speak or move or act or in what guise Jesus might appear. We can't guarantee safety or success or bring building supplies and strategic plans to contain and control the holy. But what we can trust in is this: whether on the brightest mountain or in the darkest valley, God speaks. Christ abides. Holiness reaches down. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We have the honor of installing our new council members as part of our worship service this morning. You know, in a time of transition, in a time of transfiguration in the life of our church, it matters who is beside you, who is around you, surrounding you, doing the work with you, whether on the mountaintop or in the valley, both of which we experience in the life of our church on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. So I want to call up, Dale and I will alternate calling up members of our boards. These include people who are oncoming newly, and also those who might be continuing on in the work. All need and deserve a blessing. So everyone is invited forward. So our board of deacons this year will be Samiko Borium, Rick Fancialacci, Judy Johnston, Judy Leslie, Ricky Lee Sands, and Scott Vanderberg. So come on up. Come on. You can just come on as we name you. And we'll gather, find a spot. We'll fill in.
Okay, our educators, Kathy and Tom Albach, Mary Billy, Sarah Hogan, Margie Jewell, Barbara McMullen, and Kim Sands.
Our Board of Elders, Sally Atkiss, Chris Bodie, Bill Cagney, Susan Fitzpatrick, Ann Kinsey, and Emily Truscott. And we're going to make you turn around and look at people. We see your faces, but I want people to see you.
And trustees, Bob Bertolette, Brad Hamlin, Steve Hendricks, Brian Hutchinson, Alan Malachowski, and Dan Panichaita.
And then the officers of our church, incoming President Mark Bruin, Vice President Deborah Dayton, our Secretary Wendy O'Connor, our Treasurer Matt Carson, our Finance Committee Chair Grace Bruin, and our Personnel Committee Chair Margie Jewell. Now, I was totally remiss in asking that you would bring your bulletins forward. So, you can have share with your neighbor. Perfect. So, we're going to follow along, and members of the congregation as well, as we say some words to surround the work that we will do. Sisters and brothers in Christ, it is an honor to be entrusted with responsibility for particular service in the ministry of the church, whether gathered or scattered. Having prayerfully considered the duties and responsibilities of your ministry, are you prepared to serve with the help of God in Christ's name and for the glory of God?
Amen. And do you promise to exercise your ministry diligently and faithfully, showing forth the love of Christ?
I do.
Members of this community of faith, you have heard the promises of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have answered God's call to service. Let us affirm our intention to live in covenant with them. We gather in celebration of the joy that is ours to be partners with you in the service of Jesus Christ. We promise to love you, honor your leadership, and assist you that together we might be a faithful church of Jesus Christ.
Okay, if you're comfortable placing your hand on the shoulder of someone near you. Okay, great.
Should we invite the congregation?
Let's invite the congregation.
Can you reach forward and connect yourself with someone so that we are all connected?
Wonderful.
Perfect. We're in this together. Yeah, if we want to swing down and connect, you're more than happy to. We are certainly in this together, in this work together, and we want to be connected.
All right, let us pray. Holy God, may your Holy Spirit fill these leaders. May you give them the courage, the wisdom, and the grace to lead your people.
Remind them to listen to your Son, Jesus Christ, in all that they do. And may glory, honor, and praise be yours, O Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow night.
Well, as we prepare ourselves for prayer, there are a couple celebrations that I want to lift up. First, just an amazing celebration for Ruth Moyer. Ruth, I'm going to tell your age, 92 years old. Looking as sharp as ever. All right, Shelley, you're next. Shelley Longcoy. And she's not 92. But again, a gift to this community. God bless you on the celebration of your birthday. Well, let us enter into that spirit of prayer now. Let us find a centering place as we come before our most holy God. Holy God, whose light and love radiates with an intensity beyond measure, we pause on this day to thank you for your never-ending presence. Whether we are sleeping, waking, working, struggling, or celebrating, your quiet and unassuming presence is here. We do, in fact, catch glimpses of you, O Holy One, moments of sheer awe and mystery. We catch those glimpses of that divine mystery during a rising or setting sun, reminding us of the way you have designed the length of a day, or when we hug a loved one and feel the inner joy of companionship and acceptance. O God, glimpses of your glory are all around us, despite the frenetic pace of life, which sometimes blinds us to all that is good. O God, on this Sunday, we have once again been reminded that Jesus is your beloved, the one whom you chose to reveal your self-giving love to humanity. And in Jesus, we see your light, we see your splendor, we see just how far you will go to seek our welfare, as well as the peace and welfare of the world. O God, you told your disciples on a mountaintop to listen to him. But we confess that we do otherwise. We listen to ourselves, or to our hunches, or to our friends. And we're not such great listeners when it comes to you. Maybe we're afraid you may ask too much, or seem too extreme, or what you ask of us may, in fact, rock the boat. So, Lord, give us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not only to listen to you with our ears, but to listen with our hearts and our souls, and especially to listen with love. So much of our world around us roils in conflict, confusion, condemnation, and chaos. And we pray this morning for peace. We pray for Palestinians and Jews, for an end of war and the denigration of humanity. We pray an end to worldly anxiety. And God, we pray that you would end our inner anxiety, that which seeps out in anger and disrespect for others, their ideas, perspectives, and values. Almighty God, may our faith be strong enough, vital enough, vibrant enough, and visible enough to be seen by those with whom we live, work, and serve. May our religious symbols and sanctuaries become more than simply relics of commemoration, but instead point us to seek you more dearly and more deeply. Oh God, give us the maturity and confidence to measure what we do in mission as much as we measure other aspects of our church's life. And God, as we move closer and closer to the beginning of the season of Lent, allow us to see clearly who we are and what we need in order to become the people you intend us to become, as opposed to the people we want to be. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our risen and reigning Savior. Amen. As we move into our time of offering, I'd like to invite Bill Leslie to come forward.
Good morning. Just a quick reminder that beginning next Sunday, the hospitality teams are going to be again passing the offering plates to the congregation in the pews during the 10:15 service. As we mentioned before and has been in the Herald and I believe in the bulletin, we're still going to leave the plates at the narthex and the library entrances, and for people that might prefer to continue to do that, and also electronic giving is going to remain an option. There's a meeting today, after church, of all the hospitality team members, and we're going to be reviewing how that process is going to work and a few other changes that we're making to some of the security tasks that we're responsible for. And if anybody has any questions, comments, please feel free to see me anytime. Thanks very much.
Another quick reminder that today is Church World Service Blanket Offering Day. And I want you to know something about Church World Service. We often wonder about not-for-profit agencies and how efficacious and effective they are. But I want you to know that Church World Service is one of the most reputable ministries in the whole world. So if you want to be generous and if you want to help people stay warm, please give to this offering. And now we will receive our morning offering.
Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for these gifts, and most importantly, for the hands and for the hearts that offered them. God, you are one who transforms the concrete, tangible into something so much larger than that. And so we pray that you do that to these gifts that we offer this morning. Make them things that spread your love, your joy, your hope, your peace, your justice throughout the world. And may we be the agents of that. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, what a wonderful hymn, a song to take us from the season of Epiphany and into Lent, as we are reminded that that light of Epiphany, the light that was born among us all those many months ago on Christmas, is within us, stays with us, even as we enter into the valley of the shadow of Lent. And then downstairs, I've heard there's plenty of food. I think it's probably like a Valentine's Day extravaganza down there, so please do that. There's Girl Scout cookies for sale. Of course, the most important reason why we go downstairs, why we take a moment after worship, is to greet one another, to share the peace of Christ that is ours, the light of Christ that is ours with one another. Please do that before you head downstairs. Find someone you do not know, haven't seen in a while, or just want to say hi to. Let them know you are glad they are here and that worship would not have been worship today without them. And then go out into the world as people transformed and transfigured to be people who transform and transfigure in this place and out into the world. And as you go, may you know that the love of God surrounds you, the peace of Christ enfolds you, and the power of God's Holy Spirit goes with you and stays with you this day and always. Amen.